All right, you're live. Another episode of Degenerates. This time, the Degenerates are going to the World Series. Something nobody expected, but we needed because it bailed us out of a pretty atrocious weekend. We're not going to go into it. We didn't put in any new music because neither of us did very well. In football, that is. We both raked in the cash on the Cubs series play, and we're betting the Mets every game. Just tore that up, and it totally negated the losses from the weekend. It was Vegas's worst weekend ever, so all the suckers won. Luckily, if you're listening to this, you're not a sucker. So we're going to talk about the Mets. We're hoping to get in a guest caller who's a big Mets guy, a good buddy of ours. But we've had some technical difficulties, as you've known. If you've been listening the last couple of weeks, even the horse is having some technical difficulties. We'll see if he can. We'll see if he can make it happen. We didn't do any intro music. We didn't think it would be right, considering neither of us went above 500. First time that's happened for either of us all year. We're going to get you back on track this week, and I have a fire banger to play as the lead-in for next week after I absolutely dominate the board and dominate the horse this week. All right, let's get into it. What?
We'll see about that after next week.
Are you, Horace, are you on the phone or on the computer?
On the computer.
Yeah, you can tell Horace is on the computer when he says something and you can't hear a word of it.
All right, let me try calling back. You want me to try calling back?
Don't worry about it. Let's just go. We'll see if we can get our buddy Johnson in. I don't think you're going to be able to figure out the phone thing now if you haven't been able to figure it out yet. So let's get into it. Best thing that's ever happened to baseball, in my opinion, is this Cespedes custom walk-up music. What's your take on it? Have you listened to it? I listened to it online like 10 times a day.
Yeah, I haven't been to a Mets game yet at Citi Field since they have been in the playoffs because I've been out in L.A. I saw two games at Dodger Stadium. It's lost. Cespedes. It's pretty cocky.
Do they play it on the road?
They don't play it on the road. That's why. So I had to listen to it online.
That sucks. Yeah, it sounds like Johnson is going to get through. He just asked if we were on already. He called in, put the pin in, and it asked if he wanted to start the show. We're already on, so hopefully if he says yes here, he'll be live. We'll see.
We'll see.
You've done it via the phone before, haven't you?
Yeah, it worked one time, but I don't really.
I don't know. Because I've never been on that end of it. I've always just done it through the host. But he said, he's saying, should I hit button to start show? I said, yeah, we'll see if he gets on here. It'd be pretty good if he got on first topic.
So, we'll see.
What?
We'll see if he comes in. It says, like, once you hit that button, it says, like, only one host can do the show.
Oh, okay. I put him on, I don't know. Maybe it won't work. Most of the time with this show, it won't work. We're degenerates. I mean, the only thing we're good for is giving out picks. All right, so we'll just expect him not to get on, and if he does, it'll be a nice surprise. So yeah, it's a huge cock slap to the other team when you're just like have so much cash you're shelling out, or you know you're gonna get so much cash next year in Cespedes' case that.
Bills.
Heyo, is that Johnson?
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
All right, we're still talking Cespedes' custom walk-up song. I was just saying it's like such a cock slap to the other team when a guy has so much swag that he just rolls in with a walk-up song he clearly shelled out a bunch of cash to get made for him.
I mean, I feel like he is royalty in Cuba, where his heirs from, Dominican Republic. Like,
Cuba.
I imagine that he had a batch of those to pick from. People just make songs, like hymns to him, praising.
Yeah, and like maybe he throws a meal.
Did you read the thing about how he got hurt last night?
Yeah, hilarious. He was like, their weight room didn't work, and he was like doing, so he was just hammering push-ups, right?
Yeah, unreal. Unreal.
Yeah. But they're not worried about it,
yet?
Right? He should be. His connection's really bad, as you knew from last episode. I don't know.
Horace? Johnson?
Horace? What's going on?
Johnson?
So his connection's off. I can't hear him.
No one can hear him.
So
it's something that needs to be fixed. He's living in like he's basically living in squalor somewhere in LA, and his connection is like barely allows him to get like Google searches. So next thing, thoughts for the Mets. Who would you rather play, Royals or Blue Jays?
For me, I've been so much more interested in the NL. And, like, I feel like the AL games have been starting at, like, 4 o'clock every day. But I don't think I've seen enough of either team. The Blue Jays scare me. Like, I feel like they'll go for 15 rounds any given night.
The thing, I'd rather play the Royals as well. Because I pitchers, at least the Blue Jays have Stroman and David Price. The these guys for Kansas City, it's like Cueto is they're supposed to be their ace. It looks like every time he goes out there, he gets shelled. I am much more with our guys and the way they pitch, and they're so dominant with the fastball. It seems like Donaldson, Bautista, and Encarnacion just eat fastballs for breakfast. So
yeah.
I'll take the Royals.
Well, I also think David Price is kind of similar to Cueto. Like I don't think he's had a good outing in the postseason like 2 years.
No, you're right. He's like 0-8.
They were showing his
like 0-8 career.
Yeah. He's
and he got shelled in his last one, too.
Yeah,
he might be pitching tomorrow.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not – if the Mets play like they've been playing, I don't see how either of those teams would pose much of a threat.
No, I don't either. This is the kind of thing with this – with the pitching we have, basically, like I said at the start of the playoffs, it's like if we get one or two guys hot, it's over. I didn't expect this to happen out of Daniel Murphy because – quite frankly, he was just, like, never that good. You know? Like, I mean, he was fine,
yeah.
But he was never a huge home run guy. Like, he's never had more than 20 home runs in a season. So,
yeah.
Now the fact that he's broken the MLB record for consecutive games in the playoff with a home run is kind of out of left field. But we'll take it. You know,
did you
we'll
see the stat today about his – he has 16 postseason hits. And he's only swung and missed 12 times in the postseason.
Well, in the regular season, he was the hardest guy to strike out in the majors.
Yeah. In the regular season, he was like the most consistent ground ball through the first base, second base hole for an RBI that I've ever seen. Like whenever we had a guy on second, I could count on him for that. But you literally couldn't count on him at any other point in the game.
Well, what about yesterday? I loved how he was lining those balls opposite field into he was lining those balls opposite field into the hold on, we might have horseback with a better connection.
Williamson, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear wait,
Check.
I'm gonna mute my computer real quick.
Yeah,
can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm on the phone.
I hear
now.
Some weird thing in the background.
I'm on the phone now. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, dope. All right, fuck the computer.
Okay. You got to love the professionalism you get out of the horse.
Always.
You saw that a couple times the other way. He was got some bad pitches, and he just lined them to the left field, opposite field. You got to love to see that because he's not just hitting homers. He's still hitting the way you're supposed to be hitting.
Yeah, and I feel like half of our lineup is getting shifted, probably more. Like, and I saw Granderson hit one away yesterday. Conforto's shown, like, most of the second half he can hit it into the gap when they shift. So,
Conforto's
I mean,
had some really
like,
bad luck because he's hit some balls really well that haven't gotten down.
Yeah, but I feel like he's a real fundamental hitter. So, like, he can kind of, like, more so than Grandy due to Murphy. Like, I feel like he's kind of better at hitting it away.
Yep.
Hitting it opposite field. But I feel like, I mean, if they're going to shift like that and we have those guys that are so fast and, like, so just, like, quality hitters getting on base, like, we're even more trouble than we were this past year.
Yeah, I mean, we
were
29th in the league
in
stolen bases in the regular season, and now all of a sudden we're stealing every chance we get. I love it.
Exactly.
So, yeah. All right, so next thing was, first of all, so we're on the same page that we think we're going to win it all.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. Don Mattingly got canned today. Is it safe to say that we, the Mets, got him fired?
There was that blow-up with Ethier. You remember that in, like, game
yeah,
4 or 5?
Yeah, in the dugout.
What happened? Like, what was Ethier mad about?
They claim Ethier was mad about some ball strikes thing with the ump. But
yeah, it looked
he was
like
freaking
was,
out on Mattingly.
Yeah.
It looked like he was pissed at Mattingly.
You were at
yeah.
the game, Horse.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't really see it because I was like, like obviously the camera gets a better view of in the dugout.
Yeah.
But no, I think what happened was they tried saying it was something with the ump, but I didn't see anything. Like, he didn't argue when he got out with the ump. Honestly, I think it was just like, you're a $300 million team and you get eliminated from the playoffs 2 years in a row, you're going to be canned.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really think he did anything that badly in the series, but I guess if you look at, like, the past couple of years, like what Trey's saying, like their payroll, they should be getting that out of the first round, but especially with the pitching they have.
I thought he yanked Kershaw too early in game one. I thought he should have let him face right. But
and then they
gave
up that. Yeah, they ended up giving up that run.
The only thing is, I think this goes to show how important depth is at the pitching spot, because these teams that have two aces and then bums, it's like, if you go up against a good team with good pitching, you're going to be able, those teams are going to be able to battle with the good pitchers. And then their 3-4 guys are going to dominate your 3-4 guys, and it puts you in an impossible spot to win.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that we were throwing DeGrom as our third pitcher was just stupid this series. And then, like, as much as I love Matt, he's a little young, I feel like. He's not quite there yet, but he's better than anybody's three that we'll play.
Yeah. And the thing with Matt is he just hasn't pitched that many games. I think as he gets more experience, he'll learn how to go deeper in the games, because that's really been his problem. He hasn't given up runs. He just hasn't gotten deep into games.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. And I actually don't think, besides DeGrom, game one of the NLDS, like, any of them have pitched as lights out as I've seen them pitch. Like that was the only, like, fully lights out outing.
Harvey was lights out in game one when I went. He had, like, a perfect game going into the fifth.
He gave up the homer to Schwarber. And then
yeah, but that's a mistake.
Run?
Like, that's just one mistake. I don't know if that's saying you don't have your best stuff.
I guess actually the other run he gave up was the one that got over Lagares' head, so that wasn't really on him.
Yeah, that should have been an unearned run.
Yeah, so I'll say Harvey too. But like when you see these guys like with all their stuff, certain times in the regular season, it's like you know we're winning the game in the third inning when it's 0-0 because they're just not.
DeGrom certainly hasn't had that stuff in his last two starts. DeGrom
had
it going at the end of
that game one.
His third game when he retired the last 11 batters, he had it going pretty good.
What's also about DeGrom is that he's just been battling through. Like, whenever he doesn't have a bat, like, he doesn't have a stuff, he still, like, battles through and, like, keeps the runs down, keeps it under two or three runs.
Yeah, I feel like they've been talking about that more than I heard them talk about it all season, about, like, working hard for outs. I don't even really know what that means, but I guess it just means you don't have your best stuff. Like, Collins is always talking about it.
Yeah, it's like pitch count. I mean, it's like the last two times DeGrom's gone to the mound in the first inning. One game he threw 29 pitches in game five in the first inning. In the next game against the Cubs, he threw 27 pitches. That's like, it's so tough to have a good game when that happens, and he's managed to make it happen both times. So we'll see.
What do you think our rotation's going to be in the World Series?
If I had to guess, I would assume it would be DeGrom, Syndergaard, Harvey, Mats, DeGrom, Syndergaard, Harvey, if it went that
There's
far.
There's no... I mean, World Series, Harvey can't – he's pitching twice if he needs to. Like,
and I think the way it'll be set up like that is he'll get the ball in game seven.
Yeah.
Which would be pretty wild. That would
be interesting.
Yeah.
Is it 2-3-2, the World Series? Like, three at City in the middle?
I think
so. Because the AL won the wild card.
I think it's 2-3-2.
Yeah, the AL won the All-Star.
Yeah, sorry, the AL won the All-Star.
Which is also the stupidest thing in the world. Not that we don't have – I think we would be on the road either way, but it's so stupid that they determine home field based on the All-Star game.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes no sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. I got another question. Do you guys think all this time off, like, potentially that we could have is good or bad for us? Because it's kind of two ways for me. Like, I think for, like, a guy like Murphy, it can't be good having this much time off. But I think for the young, like, pitchers – and especially Harvey, like, more time to rest. It's just, like, those guys throw so hard. A couple extra days off can really, like, let them get their pop back and their fastball.
Yeah, I think for the hitters, it's going to be a little negative. But for the pitchers, which is our strength, it'll be a positive. Getting all that rest, and, like, just reloading, basically. Getting some new lead up.
You kind of wish that you could have, like, Duda and Murphy carry this momentum. Like, Duda at the end of last night was was awesome. Like, he hasn't showed up until last night. And then, like, Murphy has obviously been Murphy. It's like, I think from, like, a keeping those guys hot perspective, you want to continue that. But, like, we rely on our pitching. So I think you got to rest the arms and hope that – and, I mean, we have some bats that haven't been performing at all. I mean, like, Wright can step it up. I mean, Kadir, whenever he gets in there, I feel like he's struck out. Like, so maybe giving some of those bats some time off will help too.
Yeah. I mean, it's you can't have it both ways is what we're all kind of saying here, which you'd obviously like to have it that way. But all in, I'm fine with the rest. I think the guys who are hitting well are veterans, so they'll know how to handle it. I mean, they've obviously never been to a World Series. Granderson has. But Granderson's been hitting well. Murphy's been hitting well. Cespedes has hit pretty well. And Duda just got hot. So hopefully those guys are older guys that, you know, kind of it's not their first rodeo and they'll know how to, like, stay hot. But that's a lot to ask. But the better side of things, especially with Harvey, where he's concerned, is if he will have to pitch a Game 7, obviously, if he would have to pitch a Game 7, having an extra 5 days off going into the series would certainly help.
Yeah.
So
do you guys think?
Yeah.
Do you guys think we're going to be able to keep up the rate at which we're stealing base?
Well, Cespedes absolutely flies. Like, that guy burns. So I think he'll be able to keep stealing bases. Isn't the Royals catcher Salvador Perez like an absolute savage at catching guys stealing?
Yeah, he's like the number one defensive catcher in the league, I'm pretty sure.
He's huge. That's all. I mean,
he's a massive.
Huge guy for a catcher.
Because
I feel like we're kind of catching these teams off guard with the steal. I mean, we stole third like four times. Like, that never happened. Like,
yeah.
I can't imagine this is going to keep, like, this is going to last. Especially, I mean, I guess if Perez is a really good defensive catcher, then we can't do it.
Yeah, I don't see us being, I wouldn't expect to win games based on the steal. Especially against the Royals.
What?
Like, if we end up getting the Royals, from what I understand, and if they have a good defensive catcher too. But doesn't Cueto also have like a really long, I mean, that's obviously just one guy, but doesn't he have a really long windup?
I'm not really sure.
I'm pretty sure, he's been pitching like pretty shitty recently, so hopefully that'll benefit us if we play
Something that worries me about the Royals is, like, I feel like they play such like small ball with like bunting and stealing and stuff that, like, Murphy at Flores is good defensively, but I'm thinking like Murphy, especially,
Flores
could get exposed.
Defensively. Let's not get carried
away.
The whole
decent.
Reason
he's not as good as that. Yeah, but I mean, like, Murphy is like bad.
Murphy's bad, but Wright's amazing, and Duda. Wright and Duda are both really good.
Yeah,
and all of our pitchers are good defensive, like fielding. So
yeah,
I don't know. We'll see. I have high hopes for us. Hopefully. They've actually changed that a little bit. The Royals were a lot more about small ball last year. Now they have a lot more bats, like Moustakas and Hosmer. They have Rios batting ninth. Apparently they do more first strike swinging than any team in the league. They strike out less than any team in the league. So from that point of view, maybe it's not a great matchup. Horace, you weren't on here when we were talking about who would you rather play. Who would you rather play between the Royals and the Jays?
I think I'd rather honestly play the Royals just because of our power pitching. It's kind of dangerous throwing like 99 mile an hour gas at like Joey Bats, Tulowitzki, Encarnacion. Like, all those guys can just, if they catch a fastball, it's out of there. So I'd rather play the Royals, but I think that the Royals are also just like such a solid team. I mean, they got to the World Series last year. They're back. Most are if they can win one of the next two.
I feel like we keep ending up playing like we're gonna get the Royals and it's gonna be another one of these like kind of like underdog stories. Like, we're supposed to be the underdog story. And it's like
we
go up against the Cubs and everyone wants the Cubs to win. It's like they haven't won it in 100 years. They have all these young guys. They're such a fun team. And it's like the Royals lost in the World Series last year. Like, everyone loves this like small ball bullshit they do. It's like the Mets are supposed to be the fun underdog team everyone wants to win. And it's like we keep playing these other guys who are like interesting story than we do. So, you know what? I kind of like that. I don't mind stomping on the Cubs' dreams. I would certainly love to stomp on the Royals' dreams. But it would also, there's no denying that I would say MLB baseball wants those Mets hard-throwing pitchers going up against those long ballers for the Jays. So that's what they're hoping for, I'd say. But we'll see. I mean, you know, hopefully it doesn't matter either way. I'm certainly not scared either way.
Swinging a hot bat. Just like everyone is. I mean, if one person isn't contributing, he's playing good defense, or like, you know, I mean, they're like not letting one facet of the game affect him. Like D-Wright was batting like whatever, like had two hits the entire series, and then had three hits in game three, I think.
Veteran. That was a veteran breakout by Wright. I mean, if Murphy, Cespedes, and Duda are hitting well, it's like 3, 4, 5. It's like there's no way to pitch around those guys.
Yeah, but Duda only got hot yesterday.
Also, I'll say this. Our lineup is way better against righties than it is against lefties.
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
because you have Granderson bats
Duda,
left, you have Duda bats left, Murphy bats left, Conforto bats left.
Cespedes
is fine either way. And then you throw a righty in the mix, and all of a sudden we've got Kadir and Lagares in the lineup. That's another thing. When we play the AL, what are we going to do with our DH? Are we going to play Lagares in center and DH Conforto?
I could see him. The thing with Collins is like it's like he doesn't even think about anything besides righty lefty. Like,
yeah, I know.
Yeah, like I was talking to our buddy. You guys know Leo from Big Mac.
Yeah.
I was talking to him the other day about how like they have that big book in the dugout with all the info in it, and like Terry's book is just like, is he a lefty or is he a righty? It's like big L's and big R's on every page because it seems like that's all that goes into.
He also, when he sets the lineup, all he does is he goes, like, he just staggers it from 1 down to, like, 1 to 9. He just pitcher doesn't matter. But, like, but when they're available, it's, like, Granderson lefty, right, righty, Murphy lefty, Cespedes righty, Duda lefty, Darno righty, Conforto lefty, Flores righty, pitcher. Every single time.
How bad did the Cubs need a DH for Schwarber last two games? That's
Schwarber is like, I could no doubt in my mind play left field better than Kyle Schwarber. No doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
He's 240.
Yeah, he's brutal.
Like, why is he out there? Put him at first base.
They can't because they got Rizzo. Schwarber's a classic case of a guy who's going to the AL the first time he gets a contract renewal.
Yeah, because he is a monster at the plate. The guy Matt.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you just gotta get him off the field. I think for us, I feel like Terry is just gonna alternate between like Kadir and Conforto for DH, right? Like what are the
and
other
then put Lagares in center?
Yeah, yeah. And let Cespedes play left.
Yeah. I mean that's what conventional wisdom would say.
But I'm trying to think if I'm missing anybody in the lineup that could.
Well,
you know, like
what if I am not up to date on this? What is the situation with Uribe? No chance he gets into the lineup for the World Series.
I don't think
he does, just because he hasn't played in a half month.
So Ruben 4 days ago said Uribe could be ready for World Series if that's advanced, and I'd imagine like the 5 days off. We'll kind of let him go get treatment wherever he needs to get treatment. I don't know if he's been traveling to see that.
Because I would love to have Uribe as our DH in certain situations.
Yeah, he's good. I'd love
him. Then you have to send someone down, though. But I feel like you could send down a reliever, no problem.
Yeah.
You could send down,
I thought about something else. Is this a crazy idea? Send down that, like, bum shortstop we pulled up from AAA. And if Flores gets hurt, just move the captain over there to shortstop.
Who do you put at third?
Uribe.
Oh. Uribe is kind of a utility infield. Like, Uribe could play shortstop.
Yeah, I'm pretty
Uribe
sure
Uribe is way too slow to play shortstop.
Nunez is probably going to go for Uribe.
I don't know. I'd rather send down a reliever.
But you can't drop a reliever in that position.
You can't?
I mean,
well, then send down the.
Like, then you're depleting the bullpen.
Yeah, but we don't need a bullpen.
That's true.
All right. Well, I'm gonna call it there on the Mets talk. We're all very confident. No worries at all. I don't think we need anyone in the bullpen other than obviously Bartolo, Nice, Clipshow, and Familia, and then have Robles there for swag. Addison Reed looked good, but he got hit hard again. That guy Goodell, we don't need Goodell in there. We'll see.
Yeah, we do not need Goodell.
Hopefully we get the Hog Show back just for morale. Like, we need him there for a World Series celebration. Like, we can't have Uribe. We can't have Uribe not in the locker room if we win the World Series.
Apparently he's like one of the most liked guys. When he came in, it was just like an automatic fit.
I saw Bartolo spraying champagne last night, and it was hands down funniest picture I've ever seen. Him with the ski goggles on is the funniest look. You guys got to see this picture. I think it's on the cover of ESPN, actually. If you go to ESPN, it's like Bartolo hammering the champagne with the ski goggles on. It is hilarious. It's spot on stuff. All right, so we'll call it there. I don't know, Johnson, you got to go?
I got to run, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, thanks for coming on, buddy.
I'll talk to you guys later.
Right.
Johnson, let's make some more bank on the Mets this week, next week.
All right. Johnson's gone. Great addition. Big-time Mets fan. Big-time buddy of ours. Next thing we're going to get into, we haven't talked a ton of basketball because it hasn't been basketball season, but as we start doing this, we're going to have more shows, probably two shows a week instead of one. Probably we'll do the classic NFL show, and then maybe we'll do a once-a-week NBA show because Horace and I are both big NBA guys. This Lamar Odom situation, give me your take on it.
I'm glad. I mean, I thought he was dead, honestly, like in the
TMZ. I thought he was dead.
Yeah, TMZ basically said, it's like he is dead. And then like 2 days later, they like, obviously TMZ is just trying to start shit. So I think that's pretty bullshit. And now apparently Chloe and Lamar are getting back together. Not that anybody cares, but he probably just came off like the biggest bender of his life. And I'm glad he's all right, but I don't know if that's the best move for them. Hopefully he gets back into basketball too. He's a solid player.
One of the most outrageous stories I've ever heard. Definitely glad he's okay. J.R. Smith, like, Instagrammed a picture that he was, basically R.I.P. He said R.I.P. in the Instagram post. But it was a little confusing also because there was a lot of stuff about hoping he made it. But he was saying R.I.P., so it was like, I mean, J.R. Smith is not the smartest guy in the game. But R.I.P., I hope you make it.
Like, yeah, that's
like,
maybe
you're
talking
completely
about
contradicting yourself. It's like you're saying like, rest in peace, man, but I hope you survive. Like, what are you talking about, JR? Like, are you saying you want him to rest in peace or are you hoping he makes it? Like, it's two completely opposite things. But that's not surprising coming from JR. Also, this is classic Kardashians having this, like, happen for them. It's just, like,
get them
so many views.
Spotlight.
Like, this the spotlight, this episode of the show is going to be flames. Everyone's going to tune in. It's going to be more viewers for them. They're going to make $1 billion more. Like,
are they still doing that show?
It's like the highest rated show on TV. It's crazy.
That's stupid.
I love Kylie. I follow Kylie on Instagram and Twitter, and she's the only one I follow on either of them. Love Kylie.
Yeah, I switched from Kendall to Kylie. Kylie's way more flaky.
Kylie's absolutely tearing it up right now. Either way, you know who she should be? She needs to be dating, like, Kylie needs to hook up with Pagano now. It's like, who's
dating Tyga.
I know. No, I was just saying,
Tyga
like,
15.
What? Yeah, I know. But I was saying, like, Kylie needs to start hooking up with Chuck Pagano now because it's like she's got to match Chloe. Who do you think was a bigger dumbass this week, Lamar Odom or Chuck Pagano with that punt play?
That was just absurd. I think they're – did you see all that stuff that they're saying?
Did you like that transition?
Yeah, that was pretty smooth. That was smooth.
I know, man. I'm getting there.
We're getting there. We're trying to upgrade the production value of this, right?
Yeah, for sure. And now we got you with a clear sound, so that's exciting.
That's huge. That's huge. And you just called in?
Did you ever get a clear – description of what they were trying to do on that play?
I think they were just trying to draw him off sides, but, like, you're not going to draw the Pats off sides with a stupid play. You know what I mean? It's just like, if you're going to do it, just line up Andrew Luck to pretend to go for, like, a sneak and then just keep trying to hike it. Like, keep trying to get him off.
It was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. It was the dumbest play I've ever seen in football. And the Pats still couldn't cover the spread. That was a huge play. The Pats could have lost that game.
I was on the Pats last week, and they came back afterwards. Like, you know, the Pats were up by, like, what, 13? The spread was, like, 10 or something like that. And then classic, the fucking Pats give back the ball, and then Indianapolis bones me by going, like, 90 yards.
Garbage time touchdown.
Yeah.
Classic. All right. So, on that note, let's also – I never gave my take on Odom because I was so worried about making that transition. I love this move. Like, no one came out – obviously, it's like this is only because he survived. I'm not – you know, I'm not a savage. But this move was kind of perfect for him. Like, he got to have his obscene bender where he had, like, all this obscene sex in the VIP room of this thing, did all the drugs you could ever believe in, and, like – it showed he was, like, so damaged that he got his wife back, who's loaded.
Yeah,
so, like, now he doesn't even have to play in the league anymore. If he can stay with Chloe, he's set for life anyways and can keep doing drugs all he wants.
Well, he's probably, like, he's 36, so he's probably pretty much done with his game, actually, now that I'm realizing it. Chloe hopefully just stays with him for the press. I'm thinking that's the reason she's actually staying with him. But like,
that's
I'm
exactly
sure
why she's staying with him. So like, he's helping her. She needs to help him back. It's a give and take thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a business relationship at this point, but sometimes those are the best kind.
That is true.
All right, so we're gonna dive into picks now, and we are gonna really try and rebound from last week. Neither of us went above 500 first time, but that wasn't our fault. It was Vegas' best weekend yet. The only people who won were the suckers who took all the obvious lines, and like, it was just a disaster for us because we were making the real smart picks. And every once in a while, since we've done the show, we've done like 5 weeks of the show. First 4 weeks, we both went above 500. Every once in a while, Vegas is going to get it wrong. It happened to be last week. This week, we're going to rebound. Bet your life. And also, this is what we said at the start of the show. This is classic us. We couldn't have been worse last week. We still both made a ton of money because we had so much on the Mets. So that is classic us. It's like the 1 week Bills and Horse have a bad week. Oh, yeah, they're making stacks on stacks betting on their Mets. So that's classic us. Don't worry about that. And the Mets don't play this weekend, so we need to do well, and we will. First game tonight,
yeah.
Seattle going to San Francisco, just under a touchdown favorites in my book. What is it for you, Horse, and who you got?
I'm all over the Seahawks on this one. I mean, tough, tough loss again to at home to the Carolina Panthers. I mean, I just don't think – I mean, San Francisco won last week. They beat – who did they beat last week? Fucking
– The Ravens.
The Ravens. They beat the Ravens. But the Ravens aren't a good team. And Seattle, I think, is – like, I've been saying this for the past 2 weeks, but they haven't done it. But I'm very confident that they're going to come out on Thursday night, tonight – and step it up, shut down the brutal San Francisco pass game, and then limit Carlos Hyde to under 100 yards and win this by a touchdown.
I'm complete opposite of you on this one. I love the Niners. It's my favorite bet of any football game all week. I've been saying the same thing about Seattle, and now it's just time to realize that the Seahawks aren't the Seahawks anymore. They're not that good. They don't deserve to be favored by a touchdown in this game. San Fran beat the Ravens last week. Granted, the Ravens aren't a good team, but they also played your Giants tough on the road a couple weeks ago, and the Seahawks lost at home to Cam Newton, who, if you think about it, plays a similar style of football to Colin Kaepernick, and the Seahawks have a better run game. Obviously, the Panther defense is much better, but the weapons aren't that much of a difference. I'm going to take San Fran. I wouldn't shock me if the Seahawks lost this game. If Calvin Johnson doesn't fumble the ball on the 1 yard line, then the Seahawks are 1-5. With their one win coming at home against the Bears. I'll take my chances with the Niners. Next game is the London game. We've both talked about how much we hate the London game. We're both going to get annihilated drunk on Saturday and sleep through it. We're just going to have to wake up and look at our phone to see if we won. I have the Bills by 4, and I'm taking the Bills kind of based on what I said about the game in London when the Jets played. I would rather in these type of games, I just want the team with the better defense. And I think the Bills have a much better defense than the Jags. They've been underperforming, but the Bills do still have good defense, and Rex Ryan is still a good defensive coordinator. No way around it. I'm taking the Bills -4. I think they win this game easy.
Yeah, I'm on the Bills also. I hate these fucking games. They're playing in Wembley. I think that the Bills are going to take it just because I think it's going to be a pretty big shit show. I think there's going to be a bunch of turnovers, and the Bills are going to convert a couple of those turnovers into points.
All right. Next game, Minnesota is going to Detroit. They're favored by 2.5. They're coming off. They covered the spread last week against the Chiefs. You were on them. I wasn't. I'm not on them this week either. I like Detroit at home. I think Minnesota's been overperforming a little bit lately. I think this is basically Lions season. They're coming off an overtime win against the Bears. They're going to be at home. They have to win or their season is absolutely over. Their season's probably already over because they're 1-5. But I think the Vikings, this is a classic game for the Vikings to lose. They're just one of those teams. It's like, oh, the Vikings are good. The Vikings are good. They're going to make the playoffs. They're a wild card spot. They're above the curve for that wild card spot. Letdown game against the Lions.
Yeah, I'm on the Lions too. Stafford threw 4 TDs, had the most fantasy points for any player last week. I think he keeps it going. Trust Calvin Johnson, and I think that they win this game at home.
What are you in fantasy now? I'm 3-3. I had a brutal loss last week.
4-2. Huff didn't play his running back, and he lost by 10. So, I mean, it wouldn't necessarily been a loss for me, but it would have been closer. But that's what you get when you play Huff.
It's not what we got. He stopped us.
Right now he has 3 guys on his bench. I actually checked this. He's got 3 guys on his bench. We'll see if he actually subs in any of those players.
Yeah, well, that guy's got a little more stuff going on than you and me.
Tough. Playing ball.
Playing ball. He's got that new Morgan Stanley money coming in.
Hell yeah.
So, you know, a little more going on than us. Next game, Saints going to Indianapolis. I went against my system on this one. My system spit out the Saints. I cannot get behind taking the Saints on the road because on the road, the New Orleans Saints are the worst team in the history of football. I don't care what the spread is. I don't care what my system says. I will not bet on the Saints on the road. I am taking the Colts. They win this game by multiple touchdowns. It's a 4-point spread. Give me the Colts all day.
Yeah, I'm also on the Colts on this one. I just don't think Breeze is as effective as he was before. When they're not playing at home, the team doesn't seem to get as riled up. I mean, he targeted Benjamin Watson like 20 times basically last game. That just shows that they don't really have a dominant threat at wide receiver. Brandon Cooks has been underperforming, so I think Indianapolis takes this one.
I was all over the Saints last week at home against the Falcons. I said on this show that they were going to beat the Falcons outright, and they did. That was about the only thing I got right. But I did say that. I have been nailing the Saints. The same of the team I have nailed. I called the Eagles in the blowout win. That was my top play a couple weeks ago. Eagles blew them out. Colts. The one thing I'll say is the Colts playing in a dome helps a lot, but I don't think it helps enough. Next game, Pittsburgh, Kansas City. I have this as a pick 'em, but I think I've seen it as up to 2. What do you have that?
I have Pittsburgh. I think I have. It's not even actually on my site yet, which is kind of bush league.
You know why that is? That's why I couldn't get a spread on it either. It's because they don't know if it's going to be Vic or Landry Jones. But for me, it doesn't really matter.
Actually, Ben is – I mean, Ben probably won't play, but
– Oh, no,
Ben
that's what it is. That's what it is. Roethlisberger still might play. Or I don't know what it is, but they have no clue what's going on with their quarterback situation. That's why the line hasn't been released yet.
Yeah, I'm a little confused on this one, but I'm taking Pittsburgh. I'm not going to take it until game time, see who is playing at QB. I'm hoping, I mean, I don't think Big Ben will get in, but I'm hoping he does, and that I get the line at a much better spot than what it actually will end up at.
Well, that's an interesting one for you then. I guess if there's no line released, you're kind of in a jam. I've seen anything between pick 'em and two. I like the Chiefs just because everyone's kind of down on the Chiefs. And this Pittsburgh team, I think, is riding way too high right now. They beat the Cardinals at home. They had that Le'Veon touchdown. And if the NFL, we know anything about the NFL, it's a team that rides high that isn't that good, usually has a letdown game. It's kind of the same thing I was saying with the Vikings. I just got a text from our kind of in a weird one. He goes, "Yo, give me a call when you guys finish recording. I have a proposition." So that could be something interesting for the show. He was a good guest. Anyways, I'm going to take the Chiefs, but obviously this whole thing depends on what the line is and who's playing at quarterback. Like, that's really one where it's like our pick on this doesn't even necessarily shouldn't be on your radar because we don't know who is playing and we don't know what the line's going to be. So it really is just that one is one to completely take off your board if you're listening to the show. Next game, Houston at Miami. Miami's favored by 4. This is the weirdest game ever. I'm on Houston. I think Miami is like, had that big win in Tennessee last week. Their new coach kind of fired him up. At the end of the day, though, like the Dolphins are still that team that we saw that got Philbin fired. I don't think a coach getting him fired up changes a team that much. I think it's much more about the X's and O's than that. I think the Texans have finally made the right call in going with Hoyer. He's a guy who might not necessarily win you games, but he can keep games close. Could easily see the Texans winning this game, could easily see them losing by a field goal. So I'll take the Texans with 4 points.
Yeah, I'm also on the Texans. Honestly, the Dolphins had a rout of the Titans last week, but honestly, I think that they're going to, like, not have their A game against the Texans. I think that the Dolphins are going to come out slow, and they're going to revert back to their old ways and go to 2-4.
Yep, agree. We're on the same page on this one. Now, this is my game of the week, obviously because I'm a Jets fan, but Jets-Pats. Jets are on fire. I was at the Jets game on Sunday when we demolished the Redskins. This line is so disrespectful. It's crazy. I was so wasted at the game and after the game. I said it was there's no doubt in my mind this game will be less than a touchdown spread. And you know from years of talking to me, I am almost never wrong, almost never more than a field goal off of a spread, usually within a point or a half point of the number. I said I thought it would be 6.5. It came out at 9. Now it's up to 10 in some places. And this is so disrespectful to the number one defense in the league. Who you got?
Yeah, I'm all over the Jets. I mean, a touchdown spread would be – I would be kind of leaning towards the Pats. But if it's at 10, I mean, that's so many points. I'm going to take the points with one of the better defenses in the league. Fitzpatrick has been so solid for the Jets. I mean – I think, like, one of the best players, like, for their team. Like, imagine if they had Geno Smith. They're probably, like, 2-whatever.
Yeah, well, we have Geno Smith. Yeah. Geno Smith's actually been dressed out the last few games, but he's just on the bench. Horse, it's not one of the best defenses in the league. It's the best defense points per game, yards per game. The
period?
Best defense.
Is it period?
Yeah,
I have the Jets in this losing by a touchdown. I mean,
here's the deal with Ryan Fitzpatrick. If he's on a bad team and there is constant pressure on him, he's going to throw about a million picks. The Jets lead the NFL not only in every defensive category you've ever thought of, but also in sacks per game, least sacks per game of any team in the league. If you can do that, Fitzpatrick can be an efficient quarterback. And now we also have the leading rusher yards per game in the league in Chris Ivory. I mean, do you know how many different things that is in leading the league in? Yards per game defense, points per game defense, sacks per game, leading rusher per game. Brandon Marshall's probably up there in yards per game for a receiver. This team is just flat out good. And we're getting no respect against the Pats. And I know the Pats love to blow people out when they think they have a chance, but you don't blow out the number one defense. You can't do it. I'm taking the Jets. I'm all over the Jets.
You've also got Revis, who just came back from the Pats, so he probably was practicing against Brady almost every day. I mean, learned a couple of his tells. Like, it's I think he's going to be able to give it to Cromartie, give it to the other players on the team, give him some tells that Brady has, the limited number that he has. But, like, something is definitely beneficial from having a player that was just on their team last year.
Brady, as good as he is, he's not a guy who's going to throw it down the field on you. He likes his dump-offs. And we have athletic enough corners to guard guys like Edelman at the line and still be able to make plays on him. So I love the Jets. I'm very excited for this game. One of my best friends in the world, you know, Mark Brumbeck. He is a diehard Pats guy. I have been driving him crazy with this Mets stuff. He wants to – been talking about how we're going to go into Foxborough and punch them out. And if the Jets win this game, we might not be able to talk anymore. So, very excited about this game. Cleveland, St. Louis, go ahead.
It's a 1 p.m. game. I thought it'd be like a Sunday night or something like that.
Can't fight the schedule. Pats have a lot of primetime games. They didn't think the Jets were going to be good this year, so it is what it is. Cleveland, St. Louis. St. Louis by a touchdown. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm on St. Louis here. This is actually another one of the spreads that didn't show up for me yet. I'm waiting for it. But I just don't think the Browns are any good. McCown is just a scrub, just a complete scrub in my eyes. I think they should put in Manziel, actually. But, I mean, the Rams aren't that great, but they got Todd Gurley coming back. They're coming off a bye week. I think that Gurley is – they're going to ride Gurley. I have him on my fantasy team. The guy is an absolute monster. I think that they just ride him to a victory of a touchdown here.
Yeah, you were also trying to trade Gurley, so.
Yeah, but I'm only trading him because his stock is so high right now.
I'm on the Browns. Most people, 59% of the betting public's on St. Louis. I like the Browns. I just think St. Louis is one of these teams that a lot of times doesn't show up. Their offense isn't that good. Nick Foles against the Packers threw 4 touchdowns in his last start. I know he's not a guy who typically turns the ball over a lot, but I just think that them as a team are one of those teams that has down games. And, like, to be honest, I could see them losing this game. So, obviously, they're 7-point favorites. All I'm saying is I wouldn't take them in a pick 'em, and I could see them, you know, screwing things up all over the field because that's what the Rams do. And this game staying close. And McCown's had some good games. I mean, they almost beat San Diego on the road. They beat the Ravens. So I'll take the Browns.
Yeah, they did lose only by 3 to the Broncos last week. So
exactly. They're not a bad team. And that was an overtime. So obviously the Broncos. That was another one I had nailed. I have the Broncos nailed right now. Those guys, it's like they should have lost the last 2 to the Raiders and to the Browns. Those guys are in trouble. And they're undefeated. That's
it.
They could
be Tennessee. Like 1-5 right now. They could easily be 1-5.
Yeah. A couple pick sixes don't go their way, and they're like, they're in a dogfight for the division. Atlanta's favored by 4.5 going to Tennessee. Who you got?
I didn't hear that. What was that? Sorry.
Atlanta going to Tennessee, favored by 4.5.
I got Atlanta. I've been riding Atlanta for a long time. They did not pull through for me last week. But I think that they're going to step up. I think Julio Jones is going to have a big week. And I think Matt Ryan is going to throw at least 3 touchdowns.
Okay. I'm on the other side of this one. I'm on Tennessee. I think Tennessee has a bounce back game from that Dolphins hand, like that blowout. They got blown out in their own building. They're not going to let that happen again. Falcons have looked very vulnerable the last 2 weeks. They struggled against the Redskins, won in overtime, lost to the Saints. And I know that means like maybe they have a bounce back, and maybe they do, but I just think they're an overrated team. So I'll take the Titans with the points. Tampa Bay going to Washington. Washington's favored by 3. Love Washington. I think Tampa Bay stinks. Washington's defense actually isn't that bad. They just got knocked around by the Big Bad Jets. Washington is a decent team. Tampa Bay is not. in my system. The only thing that gave me any hope of betting the Bucks was the fact that most people are on the Skins. I don't care. Love the Skins in this one. I think the Skins are actually a decent team, and they're in a position where they desperately need to keep winning games because they're still in the hunt in the NFC East. So I'll take the Skins.
Yeah, I'm on the Skins also. I think they're definitely still in the NFC East. I mean, 3-3. The Giants are 3-3. The Eagles are 3-3. So they're definitely still in it. I think that they're going to win this game. The Bucs just don't do it for me. I think they turn the ball over a lot. Jameis is just not that calm in the pocket. I think the Redskins win. Tampa Bay does not have, by any means, that great of a home field advantage. I mean, it's solid.
It's in Washington.
No, is it?
Yeah.
It's in Washington? Oh, that's even better for me. Washington's like one of the tougher places to play in the league, actually. So I had Washington pick.
Jameis sucks. Over.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, good research there, Horse. Christ.
I had Washington anyway, even if they were playing at the Bucs, so that's even better for me.
Yeah, I guess you love the Redskins. All right, Oakland's going to San Diego, 4-point spread. Everybody's on San Diego. I am also on San Diego. I think Oakland is kind of a Cinderella story. They lost a couple of tough games. The Chargers have had a couple brutal losses in a row. Just brutal losses. I think Phillip Rivers alone covers this spread for San Diego. They still have weapons. I don't understand how they've lost so many games, but it wouldn't surprise me if Rivers rattled off 6 straight. And you know what? San Diego, when they play Denver, is going to win that game. Guaranteed. San Diego's not bad. They played the Packers very tough in Lambeau. They played the Steelers in what was basically a home game for the Steelers. Apparently that place, Rivers had to go to a silent snap count because it was so loud with all the Steelers fans. So, you know what? They've lost a couple tough games. I'm going to go with the Steelers in this one. I thought originally I liked Oakland. I did some research. Rivers is the real deal. He's got some good threats. He's got Gates back. They've been much better since Gates has come back. He's had more weapons. I'm going to go with the Chargers.
Yeah, I'm with the Chargers too. I think Melvin Gordon has had some fumbling issues, and I think that that's going to get corrected. I think that they're going to use Woodhead out of the backfield a little more, which is good for my fantasy team, and I love that. Love Melvin Gordon making some fumbling issues. But they had two tough losses, and Rivers is kind of the guy that kind of gets really pissed about this and takes it into his own hands in the next game. So I think that he's going to take it out on the Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you saw last week against the Packers. Guy threw for over 500 yards. Crazy.
Yeah.
Dallas going to the G-Men. It's not the night game, but it is a primetime featured game at 4:25. Giants are favored by 3 at home. Romo and Dez will not play again. Giants coming off a kind of an embarrassing loss, if we're being honest, to the Eagles. And I think they rebound from that loss. I don't think the Cowboys are good without their guys. I think they will be when they get Romo and Dez back. I think they need to just keep it close. And that's a reason to take the Cowboys, is because if they can will out a couple of these wins, keep it close for when Romo and Dez come back, they're still very much alive. So I think the Giants know that, and they know they need to win this game because it could be a very important tiebreaker when the season's over. When it's all said and done, they could be neck and neck, and they need this head-to-head win. So I'm going to take the Giants.
Yeah, I'm also on the Giants. I mean, last week was absolutely brutal. We got that early touchdown and then didn't do anything after that. That pick, I mean, but if you think about that last game, I mean, it just smelled like terrible errors. We had a pick six. We stopped them on fourth down, and then some fucking asshole literally just picks up Bradford and just choke slams him to the ground. And it's like, what are you doing? And they score a touchdown right after that. So it's just terrible decision-making by individual players. And I think that the Giants are going to absolutely correct that with Coughlin. I'm sure that they got their asses reamed out by Coughlin. I think that they're going to win this game by a touchdown or more.
All right, good. We're on the same page there. Eagles-Panthers. Panthers favored by 3. Who do you like?
I'm on the Panthers here. I mean, they just came off that emotional win versus the Seahawks. So I know that there could be a letdown, but I think that they're just a much better team than the Eagles. I mean, the Eagles did just beat my Giants, but I think that they didn't look that impressive. I thought that the Carolina Panthers looked much more impressive to beat the Seahawks in that dome, and not in that dome, but in that stadium.
I'm on the Eagles in this one. I think it's hangover city for the Panthers. They had to go all the way out to Seattle, all the way back. Very emotional win. They're still undefeated. The Eagles have kept it close to home, and they've looked really good in their last couple games. I mean, you can say what you want about the Giants' mistakes, but there were also some very nice plays on the by the Eagles' defense. That play by D'Amico Ryans when he took that ball away from – who was that guy? Took the ball away from Reuben Randall, I think. Got the picks in a field position. That's – you got to tip your cap to the Eagles on plays like that.
I think
the Eagles are hot right now. Ultimately, I still don't think they're going to be a very – like, I don't think the Eagles are a real-deal team. But I think they take advantage of a – because the way the Eagles play, if the Panthers come out, like, a little slow and hungover from that Seahawks win, I think the Eagles can run it up on you pretty quick. And I don't think that's a recipe for success in the long run with this Chip Kelly offense. But I think in this particular situation, they could jump on the Panthers early.
To be honest,
I don't love that as the Sunday night game, but it's fine. It is what it is. And even worse than that is the Monday night game is Baltimore-Arizona. Terrible game. Cardinals are favored from anywhere from 8.5 to 10. It's too many points for me. I'm on Baltimore. I think I'll take my chances with Harbaugh in a primetime game because they seem to always show up in those primetime games. But I don't like this game.
Yeah, I don't like it that much either. I'm on Arizona, but these two primetime games are pretty shitty. I thought that they could have had the Jets and Pats on this one and a couple other ones too, actually. But, yeah, I'm on the Cardinals. 10 points, I mean, is it at 10 for you? I think it's at 8.5.
I saw 10 initially.
Yeah, I have 9. I mean, that's a lot of points, but I think that the Cardinals are just a lot better than the Ravens, and I think that the game is over in the third quarter.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the show. Timed it pretty well, right at an hour. Great having Johnson on. We'll see what this proposition he has is. He's a pretty smart guy, so hopefully it's something that is going to be advantageous to us. I can't wait to stomp on horse this week and pick. We're actually on the same team in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games, but that still leaves, that still leaves one. We don't know on Pittsburgh, Kansas City yet, so it leaves 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games that we're on the opposite sides of. So we'll see who does better in those 5 games. Hopefully I take 3 or more so you can hear this Fire Flame song as the intro next week. And hopefully we get our boy Johnson back on for more. I thought he did a great job. Horse, I'll see you in a long time, actually. I don't know why I said that, but go Mets.
Thanksgiving, yeah. Fuck yeah, Mets, baby. Go.